Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Text for our meditation comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he laid down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then laid down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. This is our text. Oh, what a day it was going to be. Elijah knew from the moment he woke up that morning that this day was going to be a day of glorious victory. He was about to enter into a contest on Mount Carmel. It was a showdown. On one hand, we had Elijah, the prophet of God, and he was pitched against 450 prophets of Baal and 400 more prophets of Asherah. The contest was to determine whose God was to be the true God. The contest was this: each was to take a bull and prepare it for sacrifice. There was only one rule that both sides had to follow. Neither one could provide the fire for the sacrifice. The God who provided the fire for the sacrifice, that God would be the one true God. The 950 prophets of Baal and Asher got to work first. In the morning, they prepared their bull for the sacrifice. They placed it on the altar. And then they began to call out to their God. And as the morning wore on, they cried out louder and louder. And they danced around the altar. And this went on all morning. By noon, though, nothing had happened. Elijah starts to make fun of them. He says to them, "Well, you know, it's okay. Maybe your God is just taking a nap." So they pick up where they left off after lunch. And they began to dance. And they began to sing and to shout. And it got louder and more hectic. And as was their custom, then they began to cut themselves with knives and lances. And the text says they did that until the blood flowed. Now it was evening, and still nothing had happened. No fire, no voice, no answer to anything. No one was paying them any attention. So now it was Elijah's turn. He prepares his bull for the sacrifice. He builds an altar of stones. He places the wood for the fire around the altar. He then proceeds to dig a deep trench encircling the altar. And then he calls on his helpers to drench the altar, the sacrifice, and the wood with water. He says, fill up the trench with water. And he tells them to do it not just one time. He tells them to do it not just two times, but to do it three times. And after the third time of drenching the altar and the sacrifice in the wood, he begins his prayer. Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are the God in Israel and that I am your servant. And I have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so that these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back to you. When Elijah finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven. Fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, all of the wood, burned up the stones and the earth, and dried up all the water. And as soon as the people saw the results of what Elijah did, they all fell on their faces and cried out, "The Lord, He is God." Boy, you talk about the thrill of victory. It was a day of great rejoicing throughout the land. God had shown His glory. God had revealed His power. And all the people believed in Him. Elijah, the prophet of God, doing everything the Lord God had told him to do. And as a result, the hearts of the people were turned back to God. You know, it had to make it feel really good, don't you? It was a great victory, mainly because of its results. That the hearts of the people returned to the Lord, their God. A great day of rejoicing. But not for everybody. The king and the queen, Ahab and Jezebel, they were not pleased with Elijah's success that day. And we heard Jezebel's vow to their gods who were just destroyed. She threatens to kill Elijah before the sun sets that day. And so Elijah has to run for his life. This is where our text comes in. Elijah, after doing the Lord's work, after standing up for the faith, after rejoicing in an overwhelming victory, now seems to be suffering the agony of defeat. And he's running for his life. He's discouraged. He's confused. He doesn't understand why it worked out this way. Why did things turn out this way? They shouldn't have. Something apparently went wrong. The thrill of victory had turned into the agony of defeat. Elijah feels like a total failure. He says, I've done all that the Lord had asked me to do. It just didn't turn out the way I believed it should have. And now he confesses, Lord, I'm tired of this office of a prophet. And he cries out to God, Lord, I've had it. Take my life. Have you ever felt even a little bit like Elijah did there? Tired, discouraged, defeated? I'm sure we all have at one point or another felt at least some degree of those kinds of things. I mean, let's face it, living the Christian life is not an easy thing to do. Living how God wants us to live in this world can at times be awfully difficult. As Christians, we are called by God to be different people in this world. The Christian life requires sacrificing. Sometimes it even requires bearing the cross. And at times, life doesn't go the way we think it should go. The expected outcome just isn't there. And that can be frustrating. Trying to be the child of God in this world of darkness, trying to be the light of the world, can be very difficult at times. And many a believer has come to the point like Elijah did and said, you know, that's enough. I can't do this anymore. It just never works out the way it should. I've had enough. And for some Christian people at that point, they give up the faith. But for the rest, like Elijah, they find the strength to get up and to go on. What makes the difference? Well, according to our text, the difference is simply this: bread and water. When Elijah was down and out, an angel came to him and woke him up and said to him, Elijah, get up and eat. And when Elijah wakes up, he looks over and he sees some fresh baked bread and a jug of cool water. And the text says he ate and he drank and he was refreshed. And he had the strength to go on. There were supernatural powers connected with doing what the Lord, through the angel, had instructed him to do, to get up and to eat. God gives to his people, even to his people today, a food that nourishes and strengthens and sustains us. It's a food that comes from God. And it is a food that is sufficient to get us through every situation of life. The Lord says to us today, get up and eat. He has prepared a feast before us. But it's not a banquet of earthly bread and water. He spreads before us a spiritual feast of spiritual food. And that spiritual food that God gives to us has the power to recreate spiritual life. It has the power to lift up a downcast soul. It has the power to encourage a defeated believer. It has the power to enable you to take up your cross and follow him. We heard in our gospel lesson Jesus telling us, I am the bread of life. He encourages us, come to me, and you will never be hungry. He says to us, believe in me, and you will never be thirsty. He invites us again and again to get up and eat, to feast on his word, to eat his body and blood in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Because in these means of grace, in this word and sacrament, is where we will get the strength we need to get up and to go on and to complete the task that lies before us, even if we're tired and discouraged. Did you know what Elijah had to do? The angel had to tell him to do it two times. Twice the angel said, Elijah, wake up, get up, and eat. His point is, a little is not enough. Life is tough. It's hard at times to be a Christian in this dark world. For some believers, it's very dangerous to be a believer in this world. And for many of us, life, a Christian lifestyle, can be very discouraging at times. So if you want to make it through, if you want to be equipped, if you want to be strengthened for the journey, then a little spiritual food is not enough. Attending church once in a while is not enough. Praying once in a while is not enough. Reading and studying scripture once in a while is not enough. Receiving the sacrament once in a while is not enough. We all need to make sure that we regularly eat and drink and study the word to feast on those means of grace. The Lord has great things in mind for us. The Lord has work prepared for each and every one of us to do. And unless we are well nourished, the journey and the tasks will be too much for us. It's Sunday morning once again. This day comes around once every week. We call this day the Sabbath day, a day of spiritual rest and spiritual refreshment, a day set aside by God for us to be here in His house, feasting on His word and sacrament. It's the time we need to make sure we are together so that together we grow in grace and knowledge. Think for a moment what you receive when you are here every Sunday. We receive the assurance that all of our sins have been washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Each time we are here, we receive the sure and certain hope of eternal life. Each time we are here, we receive the joy of salvation. We have been saved from the consequences of our sins. We have been saved for eternal life. The fight for that gift has been fought. The victory has been won. And heaven is our eternal home. And nothing can prevent us from taking possession of that inheritance. Each time we are here, we are reminded that we have the guarantee of unending love. God loves us in Christ Jesus and assures us, promises us, guarantees us that He will never let us go. And so we find here that peace that passes all understanding. That's what we miss every time we aren't here. And that's what we receive in abundance every time we are here. Our Heavenly Father overflows our hearts and our lives with gift upon gift of His grace. Every word we speak here, every word we hear when we are here, every hymn we sing, every prayer we offer, all the fellowship that we enjoy, God is at work in every one of those things, equipping us, strengthening us, encouraging us and empowering us for the challenge of the days to come. When I think back to all the years of college and seminary time, there were so many good things that happened, but I think the thing that I missed the most is that every day we had morning chapel and evening devotions. Maybe the early church in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42, check that out when you go home, Acts 2, 42 to the end of the chapter. You read there what they did. And the King James tells us that they continued steadfastly in. They kept on doing it over and over and over again. They continually steadfastly continued to do the meeting together every day. They got together every day for fellowship. They got together every day to study the Word. They got together every day to worship. What do you think we would be today as a Christian church at large, and even as a local congregation? Where would we be today if we could get back to that daily feasting on that banquet of spiritual food that God provides? How different would we be if we did that? How different would the world be if we did that? The challenges that lay ahead for the church and for us in the world today can make that challenge Elijah faced on Mount Carmel look like child's play. The world is going crazy. We need to be ready. We need to be equipped. We need to be strengthened for what lies ahead of us. May God grant to each of us a big spiritual appetite. Amen. We rise. Thank you.